Hey everybody. Thanks, Cheryl. I am I'm gonna start today by playing a song. So let me see if I can cue that up without losing you guys. One second. I apologize. Okay, here we go.
Watching over.
That's a beautiful song, I think. But it's pretty ironic for me at this point. Because frankly, I don't believe that there are angels. You know, I think that I don't know what I think. I seriously consider not teaching today. It appears that I have a lot going on. And, you know, we can talk about that. Maybe we will. We probably will. I will. Something. I got to tell you that it feels like the perfect storm. As you know, as Regina has mentioned, she and I have both been looking at this Floyd Henderson book, and you know, it's not like I read Floyd Henderson and suddenly had some epiphany that I had not had before. Again, the way this stuff seems to work is it's always a perfect storm, and you know, when you're as they say, when the student's ready, the teacher will appear. You know, when it seems like when I have been ready to hear another message, that message is always available. You know, gosh, that's what NTI says over and over and over. I'm trying to think where it says it in NTI. I seem to remember it in Hebrews talking about, you know, which is, I think, close to the end of that book, where it says, you know, there are no angels that are going to come and swoop in here to save you. You know, it's just becoming more and more apparent to me that, and I've talked about this with you guys before, that there's no, you know, there's no man in the sky with a gray beard who's like going, oh, look at Jacqueline. Well, let me, you know, she fell down. Let me brush her knees off and, you know, stand her up and set her back on her way. Or, you know, and even for me, it looks like even Course in Miracles and its discussion of the Holy Spirit is kind of a bridge or relative truth. While NTI seems to me has a slightly tweaks that a little bit, has a slightly different approach to Holy Spirit, you know, it becomes clearer and clearer. And for me, that was the transition that I made, you know, is from A Course in Miracles to NTI. But there's a there is a transition there to thinking of, and I'm sure that it says this in A Course in Miracles, but I sure didn't see it there when I read it. But there's a transition there from thinking of the Holy Spirit as this benevolent entity that, you know, is other than what I am. And it becomes obvious, and again, I think it says this in A Course in Miracles, it becomes obvious that no, really, it's not the Holy Spirit, it's your Holy Spirit, right? You know, you might refer to it as your higher self, but even as you do that, you know, that tends to make you think of the person, you know, the best self of the person. And I know that that's not true either. I wonder now if I'm in this room alone. You guys are hearing me, are you not? Good. good. So as I began to really look at well, and then Floyd would take that a little bit further. You know, we look at, you know, okay, there's not really an individual, you know, because one thing that we crave as individuals is this continuity of being, right? That, you know, even if I want to think, okay, it's not really Jacqueline, you know, with little J, there's a higher self. And you know, and for years I've thought of it this way, and I think we like to think of it this way, you know, that there's a soul, at the very least, there's a soul. So little Jacqueline is trying to connect with her soul, which soul will, you know, be forever, right? So there's still this idea that we can reconnect to source. And yet maintain this individuality, basically. Now we don't say it that way. We don't think of it that way because, you know, I, right? I don't say it that way. I don't think of it that way because I know better, you know, because I know, because I've read the books. I know the language of non-duality, and I know that, you know, you're not really separate. But again, you know, if there's just something in the mind, there's something in my mind that continue to want to hold on to this idea of continuity of being, even if it was willing, seemingly willing, to give up this idea of a separate individual. You see, I can't even talk about it. But you know, there was a soul that would go on, it would come to know itself, and then that soul would somehow go to join God or something like that. In the idea of all that is this idea that there is a plan, right? There is this overarching plan for, you know, that has a happy ending. It's funny, Tom, my husband, watches a lot of foreign movies, and one of the things he said he liked about foreign movies was they don't feel the necessity to wrap everything up with a nice little bow at the end. You know, in American movies, we always want a happy ending. You know, that doesn't always happen, and in fact, those movies that don't have a happy ending are some of the most memorable. But usually, all our movies have this happy ending, and that's what we expect, at least in this culture. At least for me, I expect a happy ending. And so somehow that notion has informed, really misinformed, my spirituality. Right, and you know, and you've heard it and said it and may say it today. You know, well, God's got a plan for us, right? God's always got you. God's going to take care of that. It's an abundant universe, you know. And the truth is, because of the way that I have thought about this happy ending, I have seen that as a plan that includes a happy ending. I've seen God's plan for me, even though I supposedly quit thinking of God as the man in the sky, right, with a clipboard tracing my progress. I supposedly quit thinking of God in that way. I still was able to believe, okay, then we're going to call this universe, and universe has a happy ending in store. And you know, and all the again, like the song that we, hi Sharon, the song that we started with. It's a beautiful song. Oh my God, you know, in the dark night, and when you feel like you're lonely and you don't have a friend, there will be angels. But there are no angels, folks. I mean, and you know, if you believe in angels, have at it. No, I don't mean to be offensive. I really don't. You know. I'm just saying is what I'm seeing is all of these comforting ideas have been brought together by me. You know, I'm dragging that past with me, what I think I know, and inserted that into this, what I think I know spiritually, right? And so what's going on with me, not in a circumstantial way, right? Although again, perfect storms helping me to come to some realizations. And the realization that I've come to is I know nothing. I know nothing. I don't know how anything works. Hell, I don't know if they're angels, right? But I'm not willing to I'm not willing to formulate a belief or continue to hold a belief and just believe it at this point. And you may say, what has this got to do with Papaji? Well, I don't know. And maybe we'll get to Papaji today. Maybe we won't. But Papaji's part of that too. You know, about that idea about, you know, to stop all that stuff you've been doing to protect yourself from the truth. And the truth is, I don't know. Hang on a second, let me catch up with myself. Let me take a drink and do that. You're sweet, Cheryl. We are your angels. Amen. Yeah, and I do have a lot going on. I was waiting and waiting and waiting for an offer on my house, and then they offered me $100,000 less than what I had asked for it. So it's this morning I talked to the realtor about a short sale and all of that. So that financial condition is crashing and burning. And I feel like I'm at the therapist. Sorry, guys. It looks like my husband and I have come to a mutual agreement to end this relationship. And it's funny, and I was telling Ann this morning when we were having a conversation. There's on both of those counts, there is I can see the right-minded view of that, and I can see the individual view of that, and not just like, you know, esoterically either. I mean, I can in 1 minute be in right mind about these things. In 1 minute, I feel relief about both of those things. And I feel relief about both of those things because, you know, there's some movement. Well, I don't know. I feel relief, and maybe I analyze it and justify it later. What it feels like is there's relief there because there's some movement, you know? Because before in both of those areas, it just felt like a contracted situation, you know, just a and I'm you can't see me, but I'm clenching my fist. You know, it just felt very, very contracted. And but just looking at those things and watching those things without injecting any stories about them, about what might have been, what could have been, what might be, what might result. There's like, okay, all right, so we are walking a little bit. There's a okay, another step. Here's another step, and here's another step, and I don't know what the end point of those steps looks like, but we're walking. And there's freedom in that, and there's movement in that, and it feels really, really good, frankly. And then, in the next moment, I can be going, that damn realtor, he said I should put all this money that I've sunk into this house for these last 6 months into, and now I'm further ahead, so I can start the blaming thing, and I can see the mind want to do that. And what am I going to do? And then I've got to owe this person money and that person money, and that one's relying on me, and I'm letting them down, and da da da. I mean, right? All of it. And I can be in that space of fear, basically. And then with my husband, I can go, this feels right. It's been a while coming, and we love each other, and we're telling each other we love each other, but we're clear that this is no longer where we need to be. And so, I mean, I get that in my right mind. I really get that. And then I can also see myself slip into, there's some real sadness around it, and what might have been, and what could have been, and what will be, right, with that. So, it's just interesting to see, to be able to see it from both perspectives. This Sunday, I'll try not to give the message now. I'm not quite sure what that message will be, but my intent is to talk about prayer. And it's like, well, so if you get to a point where you're like, okay, there's no angels, there's no plan, right? And I've kind of been looking at this thing from the perspective of, still a benevolent universe, right? But not one that's got a specific plan for me. And like I said, I think when I talked to you last week or somewhere last week, awakening might mean that you're the happiest person on Skid Row. Right? There's no, not necessarily from an individual perspective, from a human perspective, a happy ending, right? You'll be happy, but it won't necessarily be because things around you. It wouldn't be something else that somebody would look at and go, gee, I want to be in her shoes, right? From an outwardly perspective. So all of these things have led me to look at, okay, so with this idea of prayer, and again, I don't want to give you the whole spiel today, but so, okay, who am I praying to? What am I praying for? Right? If there's no grand plan in that way, in the way that I have come to think about it, so it's just kind of really feels like a limbo state. I got to tell you though, I was getting to a spot where I thought I did know something, spiritually speaking, which is a joke, right? So from that perspective, I'm in a really good spot. I am in a really good spot, and I'm grateful for that. Grateful to who, right? So let me just say, I'm grateful. I also want to say that I heard Regina, and I did hear her say, we can't imagine anything beyond perfect happiness as consciousness, right? And so that's where that uncertainty lies, right? Because before, perfect happiness, right? And perfect happiness in the world is what I was seeing. And God's got a plan for me, and these things have been put in place. And so, in order to get from here to there, that's what that ought to look like. But it's all about, at this point, it's all about the mystery. You're sweet, Sharon. And I just want to read you something I wrote. I think I just took the place mark out. I may have even read it to you before. I wrote this I don't know, was it last week? It's day 17 from, what, 2 weeks ago. That I wrote. So I'm going to read you the Holy Spirit thought of awakening for day 17, and then I'll read you what I wrote. Trust in yourself. Trust in you. Trust your guidance. Trust in love. Trust everything that comes your way. Trust, for trust is not fear. Hunky dory, Cheryl says. Okay, so here's what I wrote. I wrote, this teaching is perfect for me at this time, as I have begun to realize that there is no individualized plan. I began to question what there was to trust in. That is, if there is no intelligent design, why should I believe that I have a place or a part that can be found or located within that design? I love the last sentence, trust, for trust is not fear. If those are the only two alternatives, how could I not choose trust? I can see that I somehow felt that without my own particularized understanding, and this is what causes me to pick this up, at this moment in time, I can see that I somehow felt that without my own particularized understanding of my place in the cosmos, I could not place my trust in it. That is, without understanding, there could be no trust. And at least now, right? I wrote, and I'm not sure this is that is true. And I'm not sure that I don't think that that's true. I think that there's something beyond what I can understand. Anyway, let me go on and finish reading this. I said, the song that has been playing in my mind since contemplation of this issue began is Cortana's Pulling in the Oars, where she sings, I surrender to the mystery. It seems much more difficult to surrender when I am not sure Jacqueline will be okay. At least when I see this juxtaposition, I see that is clinging to the self. I see that it is clinging to the self that seems to prevent me from simply trusting what is. I can see the fear surrounding my unwillingness to let go. If I don't take care of me, who will? Is the body mind the only intelligent force in the universe? How can the naturalness work without a specific, even if flexible, plan? And I wrote, I am willing to watch the mystery without expectancy of some generalized notion of the well-being of this body mind personality. But all I can give at this point is my willingness, because I don't know yet how to let go of my attachment to the success of that seeming entity. And I wrote, I will commit, and gladly so, to trust, because trust is not fear. So that's where I'm at, y'all. What is that got to do with the prayer thing? Again, it's like, what am I trusting in? Who am I praying to, and what am I praying for? And let me see. I think I wrote something about that as well. Day 27. Day 27, the thought of awakening. The truth is always true, and so the truth is true now. Do not worry that it cannot be true for you or that it cannot be true at all. Worrying changes nothing, and it only hides the truth from you. The truth is always true, and you are a part of that truth. The truth is always true, and you are a part of that truth. Nothing can change the essence of what you are. Trust and follow yourself without fear, and that which is beyond fear shall be known by you. So I'm just going to read you what I wrote, and we'll see where it goes. There is a force or forces beyond what I know or conceive. This force sometimes moves in ways that appear miraculous to me. I have experienced the essence of that force and have felt it to be a vast interconnectedness. And, here I'm referring to mystical experience that I have talked about before, where I just wordlessly got beyond anything that I can explain. The interconnectedness of all things, and just to an exponential level. And again, I can't explain it. And the okayness, like, all is wellness of everything, right? I mean, I just got it to the core of my being. Anyway, that's really all I could say about that. It's beyond what I could ever explain with words. But anyway, so that's what I'm talking about here. I say I have experienced the essence of that force and have felt it to be a vast interconnectedness. This understanding was beyond words or concepts or explanation. The truth of the understanding was and is irrefutable. I feel certain that this understanding or felt interconnectedness of all things is the experience of life itself, unclouded by whatever ideas, misperceptions, obfuscations I normally impose in my everyday living of it. I read here that I am to trust and follow myself without fear, to know that which is beyond fear. Could it be that it is some kind of normalized fear, a seemingly constant underlying state of mind, that prevents me from experiencing that sense of interconnectedness, that vibrancy of being that I know for a fact is the truth of my being? The quote points to the means of surpassing that fear and living in the truth of my being, to trust myself. Is the self to whom my prayers are directed? And what are my prayers for? To be led from the imagined state of being in which I do not know or experience this truth of being, this undeniable sense of absolute non-doingness, of not-to-ness. My trust and my prayers are not meant to induce a better experience of living outside the truth, but to lead me beyond my present experience of life as it is not. So I was thinking, it's pretty funny. So I'm praying to understand the nature of trust. And boy, am I getting my opportunities. Yeah, boy, am I getting my opportunities. And so it's funny, if you had asked me 2 months ago, do I trust and how does one trust, I would have given you a whole spiel about how you can trust the universe and da 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 da. But it's just not something, it's not something I would dream of putting into words now beyond what I've just told you from my contemplation. The only truth that I know is that I am. And having had the experience, I know that it's not the same. It's not the same eye. It's not the same eye that, oh, I don't know, makes a grocery list and go shopping, and it's not the same eye that I normally experience myself to be. So when I say I am, I don't mean as in Descartes, I think, therefore I am. I mean, I know that. That's beyond words. I am that. And how that helps me navigate the circumstances of daily life, particularly when I'm looking for angels, right? I don't know. I can look at the teachings, I can look at the pointers, trust in the self, right? Trust that trust that where I'm being led is to the truth, right? Whatever that looks like. Trust that the outer circumstances, good, quote unquote, good or bad, are only relevant to the extent that they help me open to the truth. NTI, Connie and I have been reading from NTI, 1 Corinthians on Tuesday nights, and it talks about becoming the empty shell. And I can see how I'm willing at this point to, when I'm leaning towards the empty shell side, right? I am beginning the process of releasing the desire to continue to believe in comforting concepts. So we'll just see what happens. Shoot, I don't know. I have anything else to say. I'm grateful to you guys. I don't know. I have anything else to say. I don't know if Papa G has anything to say that I want to hear. Ha ha. So, we have some time left, so let's look and see what Papa G has to say. So, I'm just going to start here. So, Papa G's in the middle of this conversation with this. With his student. I'm reading from Wake Up and Roar. I'm on page 15. Papaji's in the middle of this conversation with this student. He says, "Okay, let's tackle it another way. When you see the self, don't see the not self at the same time. If you do not see the not self here and there and everywhere, what will you see?" And the student says, "Only the self." Papaji says, only the self everywhere. The not self doesn't exist, and the self is not absent at all. So you will see self everywhere. When I say everywhere, it is nowhere. Nowhere itself, because no distance is involved. No here and somewhere. Self alone is total awareness of self. He says, and all those waves and eddies and drops and bubbles, all are just the ocean. So according to your question, I see the ocean, is saying, I see the ocean within myself, but not in the waves or other eddies, tides, bubbles. There I do not see. So you have to see first the ocean within the ocean, self within the self, and this will include everything else. You will contain everything. You know, it's funny because as I read this, I want this to be relevant to what I'm talking about, right? I want to like go, well, there's the answer. So you can see I still, I still have the desire to make sense of things, even though somewhere I know that, as Regina was saying, truth is beyond understanding. Truth is beyond the understanding of the thinking mind. So I want to read Papaji and I want to go, oh, this, okay, I got it now, right? I want to outline it. I want to break it down in three simple steps. You know, obviously, Papaji is saying self is all there is, right? And certainly that was my experience. But it's funny because there still seems to be a divide between even having had the experience and being able to relate that to what my thinking mind thinks it understands about what's being said. I know that sounded convoluted, but the thinking mind would go, oh, I get it, I get it. Okay, there's only self. And there is just no relationship between that intellectual idea, I get it, there's only self, and the experience that I know to be fact, to be truth, to be the truth of my being. There's really just no relation between them. It's so funny. But I guess it demonstrates the point that truth is beyond what the thinking mind can comprehend. So, you know, so when... your name, I put it down. Cortana talks about, you know, trust the mystery. I mean, I guess it's, I guess that really is where it's at. You know, I was telling Anne the other day something about that the movie The Raiders of the Lost Ark, you know, where he's got to cross that. And I don't know how you pronounce the word, chasm, I guess. You know, where he's got to walk out on air, it looks like, right? I don't know, get the treasure to save his father. It looks like if he takes a step into that air, he will tumble forever and forever and die at the bottom of the cliff. But he puts his foot out there, and then the path appears. And it turns out it was there all along, but the point is, if he stood there on the side of the void and waited until he figured out how the path would appear, where his next footfall would land, he wouldn't have gotten there, right? So, it's funny because it's funny because I think I know what faith is and what trust is, but truly, I want to see it first. You know, once I see it, then I'll believe it. But really, I want to understand it first. And if I can't understand it, then the truth must not be true, which makes, and I'm trying to remember what today's lesson was, but it seems like it's right there, and certainly the one I just, thank you, Regina. Regina says that same scene was helpful to her when she was learning to trust the unknown. But yeah, I mean, the truth is always true. That's what we've been told again and again and again. And it doesn't require understanding to be true. Right? It doesn't, in order for the truth to be true, that does not require my understanding or my consent or my acquiescence. So I don't know what that had to do much with what Papaji said, but I'm gonna pick up and read again where I left off with Papaji. He says, the self contains everything. There is nothing apart from it. This is why you can call it emptiness. There is nothing beyond emptiness. All is empty. Nothing ever exists. And when you see something existing, it is not other than you. So wherever there is an idea or concept of duality, of something else, there is confusion there about this. There is no duality at all. Oneness and wholeness is all. We might say truth is all. If we accept duality, then there must be frontiers between the two. If we accept duality, then there must be frontiers between the two, and then it cannot be limitless. There will be a division between duality and union. So there cannot be any divisions or frontiers in limitless reality or in truth or emptiness. There are no frontiers. So this is seeing self everywhere. And so I ask, you know, what, well, great, Papaji, but what's this got to do with what I was talking about? You know, and I'm not able to explain that, but I can tell you that there's as much comfort in that reading. And I know comfort's not the goal, but there is as much comfort in that reading as there is in the song we started with, There Will Be Angels, you know? There's strength in that. There's power in that. There's, even though I have no idea what that really means, right? You know, and I've always said, you know, egos think oneness is, you know, standing really, really close together. Everybody's standing really, really close together in a little room. It's about as close as ego can get to the idea of oneness. And it's true because the thinking mind cannot, you know, as Regina was saying a while ago, cannot conceptualize, cannot understand anything beyond thinking mind. But there's power in these words, that there's not two, that there's no, that there are no limitations. And I don't need to understand how that works or what that looks like. I don't need to understand truth to be grateful that the truth is true. And I am grateful. And I got to tell you that when I'm willing to trust, there's actually some, I don't know, some excitement around that. Well, it's like I was saying earlier, right? There's some relief there. There's some, there's just relief in the fact that there's movement. gosh, it's so funny because I can see that, I can see that part of me that needs comforting. Want to go back to the old concepts, want to go back to the but everything's gonna work out fine, right? Oh, it's all gonna be okay. From a, and I call it whatever I want, but I can see the grasping at the idea of the American movie that, the hero's going to ride in at the end of the movie and save the day. But there's a genuine gratitude and a genuine excitement about letting go of that idea. So, I want to thank you guys. And I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go ahead and let go of the mic. I'm going to let Cheryl play a song, if she will, to take us out. And thanks, guys. I love you dearly. Yeah. Okay. Bye.
Let go of the shore and let your sails in faith and trust that you will arrive. Let go.
Into the mystery.